you can hear me. I think this microphone is theoretically on. Is the microphone working? I can hear the microphone. The microphone is too loud. Okay, then we'll leave the microphone and I will continue to talk at an elevated volume and hopefully you all hear what I have to say. First off, in case any of you are in the wrong room, this is CS1110. If you're here for something else, congratulations, you managed to find a seat in a very tight room. You're welcome to stay as long as you'd like. I'm not going to kick you out today. If some of you are waitlisted, as I'm sure many of you are, we'll talk about all that in a moment. So let's get to the first order of business, the most important order of business. How do you say my name? Okay, we're going to practice this all together. Okay, it says Tikhonovich. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Tikhonovich. Once more. Tikhonovich. Yes, hooray. I love it when people say my name, doesn't everybody? You can put anything in front of my name you wish, as long as I know you're addressing me. So official titles that I go by. Professor is actually not official, but that's what all students seem to call me anyway. At UVA, you have to be a professor to be a professor, and I'm a lecturer, not a professor. But you're welcome to call me that if you wish. Officially, you're supposed to call me Mr. I've never had a student call me Mr., but you're welcome to start. Outside of UVA, I'm called Doctor, except in the church where I attend, where I'm called Brother. I respond to all of these. And because everybody has trouble with my last name, if you want to use my first name instead, that's fine. Or if you just want to use an initial, that's fine. As long as I know you're addressing me, I will try to respond. All right, so that's me. Who else is there? There's another professor. I don't think she's come in yet. She's probably on her way over from her other class. So, Professor Nada Bassett teaches CS1111. CS1110, both sections, and CS1111 all share essentially the same format. We'll talk about that in a moment as we go over syllabus a bit. You're welcome to come to any of our office hours, none of which are posted yet, but will be soon. Interchangeably, we'll have the same assignments and so on. So she'll show up, and when she does, I'll introduce her. We also have a small army of TAs. Currently, we have 28 TAs on the payroll. We will probably add one or two more. We shall see. TAs that are presently in the room, if you would stand and wave so everybody can see what you look like. Hooray! I think we just have the two. Yes. So we have two of our 28 TAs here. You'll get to know and love them, hopefully. If you don't love them, tell me so I can hire different ones next time. So that's who you've got. Okay? So we're going to be teaching you today Introduction to Programming and throughout the whole semester. There are three websites you should know about. The first one is the course website. We'll talk about it a fair amount. The second one is Colab. I don't know what Colab is. Hooray, I don't have to explain it. All right, so there's Colab and there's Piazza. I don't know what Piazza is. Okay, so some people need explanations to that. Piazza is a discussion board. One of my peculiarities is I answer email once or twice a day, at most. Okay? I usually do answer at least once every work day. Sometimes I skip the weekends altogether. I found this reduces the total time I spend on email from about 30 hours a week to about 16, and that seemed like a net win. But that does mean you won't get immediate answers if you email me. So what you do instead is you go to Piazza, you post a discussion there, and there's sort of a race between half of the TAs to see who can answer it first. Okay? Jim frequently wins. Sam does a reasonable job at competing, but we'll see who wins this semester, right? But you'll get quick answers there. We'll talk about what should go other places as we go forward here. But those are the three basic places you should know about. And most of it will be on the main course website, cs.virginia.edu. You have to put the www in front of that website because the CS department does not maintain its own server and doesn't have the ability to drop the www. And then the name of the course, CS1110, will redirect you to the course website. So, the course website. First off, you should know I used to be an illustrator, so I sketched something up one day, and there it is. Woohoo! So there are several different pieces. There's the, hooray, we're taking a course. One very important thing here. Under the assumption that students have never programmed before. If you have never programmed before, hooray, you are my target audience. If you have programmed before, I'm going to teach you how you should have done it. And we'll all go for it happily from there. We're going to use the Java language. We'll talk more about that in the next couple lectures, why Java and what alternatives there are and so on. It's fairly transferable. You'll be able to use whatever you need to after that for the most part. So, let's go to the syllabus. Everybody loves a good syllabus, right? Right? No? Okay. So, one of my favorite quotes about syllabi comes from my friend Seth Rachelson. Seth teaches computer science at high school in Lake Brantley, Florida. And he defines syllabus as a list of words you don't know yet. Okay? And so here we have the list of words the university says that you don't know yet. Object-oriented programming, algorithms, data structures, Java, and programs. So we'll get to talk about all of those things. But what do you really need to do here? We're going to teach you how to talk to computers. This is going to be two pieces. We're going to talk about the skill of programming and the art of computer science. We're mostly going to talk about the skill of programming. Just as when you're taking an introduction to piano course, you mostly talk about the skill of hitting the keys at the right time and very little about the art of music. But we'll get to some of the art of computer science as we go along. So we're going to teach you how to take ideas and tell the computer to do them. That's the essential purpose of this course. There are three lectures. For the most part, if you want to attend a different lecture, that's fine. If you want to attend all the lectures, that's generally okay. However, if we ever fill up and the fire marshal comes in and says, you have too many people in the room, the people who aren't enrolled will be the first ones to go. Ah, here's Professor Bassett. I introduced her earlier. Professor Bassett teaches Section 1111. Did you want to say anything?
Not really, but hi, how are you?
All right, so this is Professor Bassett. In addition to the 28 TAs and myself, we'll all be around for you.
So I teach the 11 section. So.
Yes, 11-11. All right, which is right here. All right, so we have these three sections. In general, I'd prefer you come to your lecture, but if you go somewhere else, we can probably make it work. Labs. You must take a lab to be in 11-10. If you are not in lab, you are not in 11-10. If you think you are in 11-10 because there's space in lecture, but you didn't get into a lab, you are wrong. Okay? We'll talk about how we're going to deal with that in a moment. We hopefully will create a few more spots. There's a lot of different labs here. We have 11 different lab sections. I have them ordered here by time instead of by number. If you are in a lab that meets in Rice 120, then you need to have a computer you can bring with you to lab when you attend lab. If you do not have a computer you can bring with you when you attend lab in Rice 120, you will need to switch to a different lab section. And we'll talk about how we can do that later. Olson 001 has computers there. You're also welcome to bring your own if you wish. All labs run Thursdays. We'll talk more about labs as we go forward. 1111 does not have labs. So if you really hate lab, you can beg and plead to Professor Bassett to let her into her course, even though it's full as well, and maybe she'll be nice, okay? There is a textbook. I forgot to bring the textbook with me. Does anybody physically have the textbook in their possession? Yes, hold it up so everybody can see. Because what you can't see from this little picture is how thick it is. It's a thick book. It's a thick book because it goes into fairly good detail and a fairly conversational level. I've read a fairly large number of introductory computer science textbooks. I think this is one of the best. I would strongly encourage you to read it before you come to class. You won't, so I will proceed as if you hadn't. But if you do, things will make so much more sense. You can get it in any format you want. You can get the book, you can get the e-text, you can get the packet of loose pages, you can get all three of them, you can, whatever, I don't care. You won't need any of the extra material that comes with it. You don't need any software, you don't need any lab manuals, you blah, blah, blah. You don't need all that, okay? You can use the fourth edition. The fourth edition reordered one chapter. I think it's chapter 7 moved to 12 or something like that. And has a little bit less explanation of some concepts. But if you want to try to keep up, it shouldn't be that hard. We'll post office hours soon. We should have a lot of office hours. And at some point in the semester, you all complain we don't have enough. And we do the best we can. Office hours are in Thornton Stacks. I know what Thornton Stacks is. I do not know what Thornton Stacks is. I do not understand the question. Okay, so about half of you know where it is. Thornton's Hall. If you go that way from here until you hit a different set of buildings, there's Thornton, that's the A-wing. Second floor, there's a great big long room full of these little desk things, that's the stacks. About half of the people in the room knew where it was, so if you don't, you're welcome to try to find somebody that does. So, contacting course staff. There's different ways to contact us for different kinds of questions. You won't remember all of this right now, but it's written down so you can look it up later. If you have questions about concepts, what is a for loop, etc., you can either use Piazza or you can go to office hours. You do not use email for that. You do not come up to me after class when I'm trying to get to my next class and ask me then. You can ask in lecture if you want, that's fine. If you have a question about code, we will be writing something called code. You will learn what it is when we start writing it. If you have a question about code, you do not post it where other students can see it. The end. So you can use a private post on Piazza. You can go to office hours and ask in person, but you do not ask it where other people can see it. If you have a question about grades, you're going to use a tool called Request Tracker. Okay? I don't care what kind of grade it is. Unless it's an exam, you ask it on Request Tracker. You don't ask me in person. You don't send email. You don't beg a TA in person. You use Request Tracker. If you have a question about exams, use a tool called TPEGS. We'll show you that when it becomes interesting. If you have a personal issue, if some member of your family did something horrible and you need to go fix it or whatever, right, or you're really ill or whatever it is that happens to you, you'll talk to a professor in person. Something you probably have never thought about, I never did as a student. I am teaching 600 students this semester, which means that about every day, about 2 years of student life passes. Okay? Which means I get plenty of personal issues. I'm happy to deal with them. I understand. I can hook you up with the right people. Don't hesitate to come to me. The sooner you come to me, the sooner we can make things work out correctly for you. Speaking of come, I live over in Rice 210. If you want to come to see me, that's where you come. Okay, there's a phone number there, which I can't get the voicemail to work, so don't bother leaving a message. If you email, always, please, 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 always include the course in the subject line. I get a lot of email. So far today, I've received, the last time I checked, it's been 20 minutes, so it's probably more. I received 48 emails this morning. Okay? If I don't have a subject line that tells me what's going on, your email entered the void and will never reemerge, most likely. So put the course in the subject line. Thank you. Request Tracker is an email address based on your lab section. If you have questions about grades, about lab attendance, that's who you email. Here they are all listed in case you can't put a number onto an address yourself. We have them all listed. So that's what you use for that. Piazza. Oh, great. My link is broken. That's fun. I'll fix that. All right. So, Piazza. Piazza discussion board. How am I in time? Yeah, we'll look at this a moment. If I go look at this course, I better log in. Hopefully, you've all been asked to give a login here. You log in. No, wrong password. When you log in, you will see there's a Q&A. This is where you put concept questions that you want to have answered. How does something work? Teach me about this concept. Okay? There is one post already there about switching lab sections. If you are in one lab and you want to be in another lab, ignore Sys, go to Piazza, find somebody to swap with, follow the descriptions there. Sys will make your life painful, meaning it will kick you out of the class, so don't use Sys. Okay? So there's a post there. If later you have some other concept question, this is the place to post it. What do you need to know to be here? You need to be able to attend regularly, and that's it. We will not explicitly take attendance in lecture. That said, we do have the right to do things in lecture that will be graded in some fashion in the quiz area of the grade. So I'd encourage you to come to lecture. We also think, we could be wrong, we think the lectures are beneficial and you will learn things in lecture. If we are wrong, we would prefer you tell us instead of just silently absenting yourself so that we can fix it and help you out. But we think they'll be helpful. You don't need any prior programming experience for 11.10. You do for 11.11, but you aren't in 11.11, so whoop-de-doo. Grades will be by a point system in percentages. You can see them all listed here. If you cheat or are rude, we can take off points. Don't cheat, don't be rude. and we'll give you letter grade. We won't round. Really? We'll remind you of that later on in the semester when you won't believe us. There's a lab room. We'll talk some more about the lab room when lab starts. You'll be able to use the lab room when lab isn't there, even if you aren't in that lab. There's homework and lab assignments. These will be posted on this site as well, descriptions of what you're supposed to do and so on. Labs will be guided by the TAs. Homeworks will not, unless you beg. There'll be stuff about partners. We'll get to all of that when we want to go there. Homeworks will be accepted up to 2 days late for minor penalty. Labs won't, because the TAs have to be there. You can miss one lab without penalty. If you need to miss more than one for excusable reasons, use Request Tracker, because it's something to do with grading. You don't need to worry about 11-11. You're not there. Weekly quizzes. Every week. Every week. There will be a quiz in CoLab. Hey, it will be due on Saturday evening. It will come alive sometime on Monday, whenever I happen to remember to hit the button. They will be multiple choice. They will be auto-graded on the spot. You will be responsible for remembering to take them. I'm giving you a whole week to take them. I do not expect you to need to wait to the end of the week to start. Generally, the quiz will be based off of what we talked about the week before the quiz came due. So there's a quiz right now about ethics, about not cheating. Hopefully you can figure out what cheating means. We'll talk a little bit about it in a moment. Next week's quiz will be based off of what we talk about this week. So next Monday, a quiz will come live that will talk about what we finished talking about last Friday. So you can take it immediately. Please take it immediately so that if you have an emergency on Saturday, you don't say, I had an emergency on Saturday and I didn't take it the previous 5 days. Hey, quizzes. There's stuff about appealing grades. Hopefully we will never worry about that. There's stuff about being professional, be nice, don't detract from learning environment. Be honest. We always have some students that are dishonest in this course. And we can always find them. Because in the end, you're submitting code, and we're really, really good at understanding code in computer science. So don't cheat, please. I don't like punishing you, and you don't like being punished in any way. Don't cheat. So what does cheating mean? You'll be submitting code, documents, essentially. Okay. We'll describe in front of each assignment what you're allowed to do, but as a general rule, nothing that involves sharing code with another student is okay. I don't care if you're looking over their shoulder, if they're reading it to you aloud, if you're working together without a paired assignment. If you're sharing code, you are doing it wrong. If you're sharing something other than code, if you're drawing pictures on the board, if you're talking about concepts, if you're giving each other high fives every time you do something great, whatever it happens to be, great. Hey, we'll be more explicit with each individual assignment what that means, but there's the general rule. Okay? So don't share code. We can tell if you share code, even if you don't copy it exactly, because we're good like that. Don't share exams, etc. Hopefully that shouldn't be surprising. Finally, LNEC. Learning Needs Evaluation Center, I think is what it stands for. If you have learning needs, or you think you might, please go to the LNEC. They will figure out if you get extra time on exams, if you get reduced distraction environments, etc. They will give you some paperwork that I need to sign. Okay, bring that to me so I can sign it. The sooner you bring it to me, the better. And then before each exam, a week before the exam, remind me so that we can set something up. If you're already in this camp, you know who you are, great. Come catch me sometime, either after class or in my office at some point. If you don't know, you're welcome to look it up. Here's a link you can read about it. They can make your life easier. I've just been talking for 20 minutes. I do enjoy my own voice, but I don't enjoy being the only one talking for 20 minutes. So here's what we're going to do. First, are there any general questions people want to bring in front of everybody? Yes. All right, so how late can you be to lab? Good question. Lab attendance is graded. So if you are late to lab, points will be taken off of that. How late will we allow that to be? I don't know, 5, 10 minutes, we'll figure it out for grade purposes. For learning purposes, when lab starts, the TAs will begin explaining how to do whatever the activity for lab is. If you miss the first part of the explanation, your life can be painful. So if you have a conflict with any part of your lab, I would encourage you to find somebody to swap with for a different lab section using the Piazza post, and it describes how to get that swap to happen. Yes? There is a quiz this week. It is about ethics. Okay? So it asks what you already know about don't be cheating, as well as what I just mentioned about don't copy code, don't look at other people's code. Code is not a safe way of transferring information in this course. Yes?
When you work with a partner on the lab assignment, you are allowed to share code with
that person? There are some assignments will be partnered. Partners should be paired based on lab section rather than lecture section. And we'll talk more about that when we get to partnered labs, partnered lectures. Most the partnered homework assignments, most labs, I believe currently all lab assignments, are paired. So in lab, you will pick somebody to work with, I think, for every single lab. Sometimes the same partner for several labs. But we'll talk more about that as that comes up. Yes? Lab this week. Yeah, we'll talk more about that on Wednesday, but the basic concept, lab this week is optional. Purpose of lab this week is to get the software we will be using in this course installed on your personal computer. If you don't want to do that, or have already done that, you don't need to show up for lab this week. This is the only optional lab we will have all semester. All right, let me talk just a bit about the waiting list, because I was supposed to do that and forgot. How many of you are on a waiting list right now? Yes, all right. So, what's going on there? Labs are physically constrained by fire code limits to 46 students and 2 TAs. That's all we can do. Right now, some of our labs are down at 44. We will boost those up to 46. How will we do that? I will look through the SIS, and I'll figure out who has valid academic need for the course, and I'll pick some arbitrary subset of those and insert them into the class. I think right now there's one more person that absolutely will delay their graduation to take the course. If they don't take the course, then I have spots to give away. So hopefully I'll get everybody I might miss. If people start dropping the course, then I may have some extra seats to play with, if they drop them in time. But if they don't, that's it. Everybody else on the wait list isn't getting in. I have begged and pled, and I have searched down rooms, and I've talked to people about money, and I've tried my best to add more lab sections, and it has not worked. We just don't have the resources to do that. If you're curious about why or who you should be complaining to, the FAQ has information about some of that information. You're welcome to look at that, figure out why this is happening, and raise a stink if that's the kind of person you are. But most of you that are waitlisted, either you have valid academic need, i.e. you are in a program that requires this course, and if you don't take it this semester, you will be delayed in that program, or you're probably not getting in unless people drop. How many people will drop? I have no idea. I hope it's zero. It will probably be slightly more than that. It will probably not be very large. Traditionally, this course does not have a high drop rate. Yes? Then follow that email.
But when we find out what section
we're... Okay, so what's happening? As I figure out that I have seats, I go through the list of people, I send out an email saying, you have valid academic need, fill out this form saying what labs you want to be. Once I get a fair number of people having filled out that form, I assign people to labs. I have to do it carefully because I only have a few seats to give in each lab. So I will send an email at some point to each person that fills out that survey that I also asked to fill out that survey, telling them which lab they're in. In the meantime, you can just add, the lab is optional this week, and I should have that before this lab section. Other questions? Yes?
What's the main difference between the 4th edition and 5th edition within textbook?
The 5th edition had 2 new chapters that we won't use this class, and it clarified a number of places that were slightly confusing before. And it moved what used to be chapter 12 to chapter 7, I think. I could have the numbers wrong. Okay, here's what I want to do now. I want you each to turn to your neighbors, and I want you to come up as a group of however many you're chatting with one question. This could be a question about anything you want. I'd prefer it had something to do with the course or me or something like that, okay? But then I will call on some people to give me some questions, because I know there are questions, you just haven't thought of them yet. So talk amongst yourselves. I'd encourage you to introduce yourselves nicely. Come up with some questions and we'll take care of them. The international version, but students last semester said there was not a difference.
I had a question. So I'm a graduate student.
Okay.
I'm in the Baden School.
Okay.
So I'm not able to enroll in undergraduate courses, and my registrar hasn't been here all winter break. She's getting back tomorrow. She's been in Morocco. So I haven't been able to even get on the wait list.
Okay.
What are the chances of me being able to still enroll in the course?
Low. You have a much better chance of getting into 1111, which doesn't have lab sections.
Right. That class has a conflict with my schedule.
Okay.
Would it be possible to enroll
if you enroll in that and attend this lecture, that will be fine.
Okay.
Yeah, you can sort of switch around lectures for the most part as you wish.
Okay.
Send me email reminding me we had this conversation, because otherwise I'll forget.
Okay.
And then once you get information from the registrar, we'll see what we can do at that point.
Great. Is the other professor still here?
No, I think she went off. She's got another class starting fairly soon.
Okay. Sounds good. Thank you.
Yep.
The intent to switch majors is not considered like a viable factor.
It is a valid reason, but it is not high enough on the priority list to do anything about it.
Okay, so...
Sorry.
When's the latest I should stay on the wait list?
Add deadline is 2.5 weeks from now.
Okay.
I know this is far in the future, but I have a final exam at the same time as that.
Okay, good. Ask that when we come back together, because that's a worth... Or I may remember to talk about it, but there will be a lot of people in that category. We'll talk about what happens. Did anybody have a really great question that must be answered? Yes.
What program are we using to code?
What program are we using to code? Good question. We'll talk more about this on Wednesday, but we'll write programs in Java. It's a language, like English is a language, like Spanish is a language, but for different purposes. We will use a program to write that Java code called Eclipse, which is like Word or WordPerfect or so on. And that's what the lab this week will be installing. Yes?
Is there a certain type of computer in the
computer? Do I care what kind of computer you have? It should have a keyboard. That's about the only constraint. If you use Haiku or some strange operating system like that, you'll have to talk to me instead of most of the TAs, although probably a few of them can help you out there. But yeah, I have used 20-some-odd operating systems, and I'm confident I can help you with whatever you've got. Yes? Weekly quizzes are closed note. This week's quiz is sort of weird. You can take it multiple times, and we're not caring about the closed noteness. But in the future, that will be the case. Yes?
Will we have the same TA every lab?
Lab sections. Yes, each lab section will have two TAs assigned to it. They will run that lab.
I actually have two questions.
Oh, no. Which one do you want to give me?
Actually, is Windows 8...
Is Windows 8? Yes, it is. Is it okay? For the purposes of this class, I'm not aware of an operating system written in the past 10 years that will not work.
Okay.
Literally, I'm not aware of one.
Great. Okay. And what is the hexadecimal representation of your favorite color?
What is the... I don't really understand the concept of favorite colors. How many of you have favorite colors? I have a favorite color. I do not have a favorite color. I used to have a favorite color, but then I grew up. I have never had a favorite color. I don't understand the idea. I could give you the hex of most colors that exist. I also teach computer graphics, so I know a lot about hex color codes, but I don't have favorite colors. Sorry. Yes?
What about formats? What's the format of the test?
Tests. We'll talk more about it as we come up, but tests will be on paper. They will involve writing some code and answering some concept questions. We'll show you some examples of what that might look like as we get closer to the time. Yes?
Is Eclipse the only software that would be installing in
that? You'll need to install a Java compiler and Eclipse. Eclipse won't work without the Java compiler, so they sort of come together. Yeah?
Why should we take this class and not buy one like without the line?
Why should you take 11.10 instead of 11.11? If you were unsure, take 11.11. That's slightly incorrect. So what's going on? This class has labs which are guided by TAs. 11.11 does not. That is essentially the difference. It's taught by a different person at a different time. They have 75-minute lectures twice a week instead of 50-minute lectures three times a week. But it all boils down to about the same thing. Same assignment, same grading scale, etc., same tests. If you don't want to go to lab, if you're the sort that likes to work on your own, or you've already programmed some in the past or so on, you will probably find 11.11 more enjoyable. And I would encourage you to take it, because that will give more seats to the 11.10 people that are waiting for labs. Yes?
What should we do about final exam conflict?
Good question. Final exam conflict. So the final is on the schedule here. If we go down and look at this final, we'll see here it is, 6th of May at 7 p.m. There are 600 students that need to take the final. There are going to be conflicts. There will probably be upwards of 20 of them. So what will happen? About a month before the final, and not before that, about a month before the final, actually this is written down, about a month before the final, we will provide a form where you can describe the conflict and request alternative exam offering. Okay? And we will find ways of getting the exam out. So what that will mean is so unclear. It might be a few days before, it might be later, that a different part of that day, it might be so on, but we'll find some way of making that work. Anything else? Yes?
Is there a big difference between C++ and Java?
Is there a big difference between C++ and Java? There are many big differences. C++ and Java are related, kind of like Spanish and Portuguese are related. There's a lot of common roots, and if you know one, you can kind of muddle your way through the other. Java is a lot simpler initially, because it doesn't have one particular thing, memory management, or it does have it depending on how you define memory management. Anyway, code looks similar. What happens if you're interested in particular language X? Either you take this course and then learn it on your own, or you take this course and then the one after it and then the one after that, and the third course in computer science is C++, which will then sort of open up the door to everything else. Once you know one or two languages, it's pretty easy to learn the rest. So it took me 6 months to learn my first programming language my junior year of college. It took me about 3 months to learn my second. And then I think within a year after that, I knew 11. I have somewhere over 70 now, last time I counted, right? They're all built on the same principles, and we'll talk about those principles in this course. Yes?
What would you recommend for a person who's on the wait list without academic need?
If you're on the wait list and don't have academic need, what should you do? Cry. I literally have walked down every avenue I know how to walk down to get more seats to appear. So, if you really, really want in the course, the most effective thing you can do is convince other people to drop. Okay? So go around and sow seeds of doubt in other people's minds. And don't let me know, because that would be unprofessional behavior. I would appreciate you remain on the wait list if you can, because the more people that are on the wait list when the wait list finally vanishes at the ad deadline, the more likely we are to have seats to accommodate you in future semesters. That's part of how they decide how many seats there are. But I have talked to a lot of people, and I don't think more seats are going to appear. Yes? Yeah, I know CodeBlocks. Do I want you to use Eclipse? Okay, so there are lots of systems other than Eclipse you could use. One of them is called CodeBlocks. There's lots and lots of them. If you know enough to pick a different one, you probably won't have to go to the TAs for the first half of the semester, although the second half you might. The TAs know Eclipse. This is a strong motivation to use Eclipse. Okay? If you use something else, it's sort of luck of the draw if anybody can understand what you're doing. Not that the code's different. The code looks exactly the same, and everything we teach you officially will still work. But all the keyboard shortcuts will be different, and the colors of text will be different, and how it deals with compile errors and so on will all be different. And it will confuse whoever's helping you. If you don't think you will ever need help, you can write your Java files in any system you want. If you're in this class, though, you'll at some point be paired with somebody, and for that, you're going to use whatever Eclipse, because that's what they're going to know, unless you find somebody else that also has the same preferences as yourself. Anything else? Okay. So let me make sure that I hit everything I was supposed to hit in this lecture. I didn't mention this. If you already know how to program, you're welcome to take the placement test and just move on with your life. If you want to understand how to do that, I'm happy to help you out, make sure that happens. Basically, go to the fifth floor of Rice and say, I want to take the CS placement test, and that's the end. By the time you make it to the end of the week, you will not be allowed to do that, because having been enrolled in a CS class for any length of time disables you from being able to take the placement test. So if you think you can do that, you're welcome to do that now. All right. So that, I believe, covers all of the sort of administrivia of how this course will work. Oh, I don't know if I mentioned, you may have noticed I'm wearing this weird thing. I am audio recording this lecture. I will audio record all of the lectures I give, I hope, and post them on the website some arbitrary number of hours greater than zero but less than 50 after I give the lecture. So you're welcome to follow through with that if you want. If you miss class, that's your best avenue, is to go listen to the lecture. If you come to class saying, I don't understand concept X, I will likely say, go listen to the lecture where we talked about it, unless I can answer the question easily without that. All right, so let's talk a little bit about what we're going to be doing this semester. Try to get you set up for what's going to happen. So right now, you probably don't realize, well, let me back up a bit. There are a lot of people who are learning computing around now. Most computer science programs have grown 3 or 4-fold over the past 5 years. And because of this, there's a lot of people that do research into how do you learn programming. What's the right way to learn it? What are the challenges to learning it? And so on. One of the things that will happen this semester is the way you think about computers will change. Thus far in your life, computers have been interfaces to tools. There are programs other people wrote that nicely do some task for you. Okay? At some point during this semester, you're going to stop thinking about them like tools, and you're going to start thinking about them more like clay. Some big hunk of stuff that you can turn into junk. Okay? You're going to figure out how I want to do X. No tool already exists, so I'll write my own. That transition of philosophy about the computer is something most of you won't even notice is happening, but is one of the things that if you ask social scientists to talk to computer science students, is the most strong correlation to how comfortable you are in this class. It will take a little time for that to happen. It's sort of a change of perspective. So as we go along, we'll start talking about these ideas of how you program, how you teach the computer what to do. And at some point, you'll start thinking of a computer as something you program in addition to being something you use. So that will allow you to have the right attitude towards the computer. The other thing we're going to be doing is we're going to spend a lot of time teaching you the skill of programming. Now, skills are clearly not best taught in a lecture, right? You don't teach people to play the piano by standing in front of them and saying, first you press the C key, it's the one right next to the 2 blacks, not the 3 blacks, right? You can do that, but it's not nearly as effective as somebody sitting down at a keyboard and banging on the keys. So we're going to try our best to describe everything clearly, to show you what it looks like. We'll project writing code on the board. We'll give you examples, give you videos from time to time, and so on. Things to help you understand what's going on. But practice is what's going to make the biggest difference. There will come some point when it will go from being this awkward, I need a curly brace now, where is the curly brace key, to being, I now need a loop, and you'll think at a higher level. And that will make your life easier. When that happens, it's really hard to predict or control. Some of you, 2 weeks into it, will just suddenly click, and you'll just be happy for the rest of the semester. And some of you, it won't happen until 2 weeks before the end of the semester. Most of you will be somewhere in the middle where it will click, and it'll start flowing more easily. This means that there will be some of you that are just frustrated for a long time. It just isn't working. Your fingers just won't do the right things. You don't know what's going on and you feel like crying. And anytime you come to talk to somebody, they'll say, well, you do understand this? And you'll say, yeah, I get that. And they'll talk about every piece and you'll get them all and the whole thing won't fit together. And this is going to annoy. So, part of what we're going to try to do is try to give you a scaffolding, sort of a framework in which things fit. Our goal is to teach you Java. We won't really talk about Java for another week and a half. We're going to try to build some of that framework, some of that way of thinking about the problem, about the world, about computers, that will allow you to fit the pieces into place. And that should help. It's helped in the past. I hope it will help again. It should help most of you put these pieces into place. But know, as you get frustrated at various points, there's two things to know. One is, most other people are frustrated too, that's fine. It's not bad to be frustrated. It doesn't mean you aren't getting it. It just means you haven't quite got it yet, and you will. And the other thing is practice. Practice, practice, practice. At various points, we'll show you places where you can get many more practice problems than what we're asking you to do. We're going to ask you to do somewhere between not enough and too many, hopefully. Various programming assignments along the way, which will give you that experience to start building programs, to start being comfortable with this idea of taking a concept and turning it into a program. Yeah, I think that's probably where I'll stop for today. Any parting comments, questions, concerns, rebuttals before I let you go? All right, I will see you all on Wednesday.